Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. My guest, the one and only Carmen Vitale. You can find her on Fox Sports as a NFL reporter. You can find her on Twitter at Carmi V. Carmen, it is awesome to have you back. How the heck are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am swell. This has been an interesting week. It's been a fun week. I think Packers-Rams is a fun game to discuss. I talked earlier this week of like, it's kind of a Rorschach test of like how you view games. Is it more in the vein of, yeah, they won, but they didn't play well? Or is it like, hey, win's a win, I'll take it anytime? Like, just everyone has a very different take on sort of their performance in this game. Normally, I'm more on the like evaluating every little nuance of it, and I don't care about the win or loss. This one, I knew kind of going in, just wanted to get a win for Green Bay. So we'll start there. How did you view this win for Green Bay? Was it a eh, or is it like, you know what, a win's a win? You got into Sean McVay, his stadium, and played down there, and you figured out a way to win, and it's good with what it is.
Yeah, I listen, it's hard to win in this league. We love the NFL because of its parity and because anything can happen on any given Sunday. And honestly, the Rams, despite the rash of injuries that they have on their roster, they're not a bad team. They still have Matthew Stafford, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the league. And then you also have an offensive play caller in Sean McVay that, again, one of the architects of the most run offense in the league. So I'm not taking anything against the Rams for granted by any stretch of the imagination. And I mean, if you look at some of the adjustments that were made from the first half to the second half, I mean, the first half, Packers could not get any sort of pressure on Matthew Stafford. The second half got better. You get the, you know, Xavier McKinney gets his fifth interception in as many games. Actually has six interceptions in the last six games going back to last season. Hat tip to Kay Adams for pointing this out, which is the NFL record. And if he gets an interception against Kyler Murray this week, he will be standalone the record holder for the most interceptions in consecutive games, or for the most games with a consecutive interception. So that's, that cannot go underrated. I know that we're not happy with the pressure that the defensive line is getting right now, but a win is a win, especially against a quarterback like Stafford. And you saw Jordan Love kind of shaking off some different rust and things like that. Again, I think it's only going to get better. And that, I mean, just like seeing little things like the placement of that ball to Jaden Reed in triple coverage by Jordan Love. I mean, that's just, it's an incredible testament to how well he knows his receivers, especially when you're down one as well. Given this suspension, I think that it's going to be fine and it's a win. Let's move on. Go forward.
We'll get to Xavier McKinney in a second. It's even better. He had two interceptions in that last game in New York last year. So he's even got one more than that, which is absolutely insane. He is on an unbelievable run right now and quite the tear in Green Bay. But I want to, you were one of the first on the, listen, Jordan Love's going to be great bandwagon. You were driving the cart. He's had three up and down mid-ish games through the first start of the season. Now, first game, you know, it's again, first game, it's against Philadelphia. You're in Brazil, slippery field. Okay, maybe understand a couple of poor decisions in that one. Next game back, he's playing against the Minnesota defense, which is a one of one, tough to play against. And you're coming back from an MCL injury. And then this week is the one where maybe you're hoping a little bit more of a bounce back. Doesn't always, you know, doesn't exactly go according to plan. I'm sure the MCL is still a little bit of a factor. Not sure how much of a factor it was when he's going full Will Levis and throwing the pick to the sidelines on pick six. But where are you at with Jordan through three games? And is there any level of concern that you have with him moving forward?
No, I mean, again, it's an extremely small sample size when it comes to, and there are things, and I realize that people don't want excuses from a guy that is now one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. Totally understand that the prayer from the end zone trying to avoid the safety was not great, right? Like if you're good, I get it. Like you're completely horizontal. I mean, it's a hard situation to be put in. in general. And that wasn't the right call by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, he was beating himself up over it.
Yeah.
And it's not something that is a trend by any stretch of the imagination with Jordan Love. He's not careless with the football as a pattern. And if it does become a pattern, that can be another conversation. But so far that hasn't been an issue, quite frankly. And so I really think that it's just a small sample size. Again, he still is, I realize that he came back with the MCL, but like, it's not fully healed, and he right. really does have to be careful. And the way that he plays the game in particular, where he loves to throw off of his back foot and be a little bit more mobile within the pocket and move around the pocket. And that comes with, you know, he has to be then comfortable, 100% comfortable in something as important as a knee, and that he's just not, quite frankly. And I think that that's fine, but we need to be realistic about what we're talking about. Even if these quarterbacks downplay these injuries, I mean, you saw it in Aaron Rodgers last year, where he was playing most of the season with a broken thumb, and that just went completely overlooked by most people because Aaron Rodgers didn't make a big deal out of it. I'm like, I don't care if he's making a big deal out of it. That's your throwing hand. Yeah. That matters a great deal. And so I want to be a little bit more realistic about what these injuries mean, even if these guys are playing. And I fully intend or expect that Jordan Love will continue to get better and get more into a rhythm, especially now that he has the full breadth of his offensive weapons available to him with Romeo Doubs coming back, which again, kind of just a really weird situation. I don't know how this happens in two consecutive years for the same team where you're voluntarily suspending your own player. Like, I was a part of the Bucks organization for 6 years. I don't remember them ever suspending a player that, like, it wasn't league mandated. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it was just voluntarily. And I commend the Packers organization for being willing to do that. But it is very interesting to me. And you know how, like, Goody comes out and just says, no, it's fine, everything's fine, and we're like, is it? I don't know, we'll see.
It is a very weird circumstance, especially for a franchise like Green Bay and a locker room that seems to be very tight knit, and to have two of these instances in, not, I mean, what, the Jair one was like, what, week 13, 14, 15?
Right. It was at the end of last year.
Probably like the last like 9 to 10 games of the regular season play. It's been within that realm. So it is definitely weird. You know, I thought Jair and Green Bay handled that about as perfectly as they could have handled it.
Right.
And to your point, I commend Green Bay as well. It is a tool in their toolbox to use a suspension if they need to maybe get the attention of a player, to set a standard for the team, whatever it might be. I felt that they did a great job with it last year with Jair. I think this one's a little bit more TBD. Now, he is right. not, Romeo Doubs has not spoken with the media yet, at least as of recording this at 2:45 p.m. on Thursday. We'll see if he does that in the locker room period on Thursday. It didn't seem like he had addressed the team on Wednesday. Not sure if that's true. You know, we don't know 1,000,000% for sure. It still seems like maybe there's a little bit of lingering issue here. We don't know. I certainly don't know, at least. And I think it's going to be worth monitoring, but it is different that this has happened a couple times in a short period of time. I think in, just kind of like Jair's right now, where you look back at it and be like, oh, that was weird. And it's not really, it doesn't affect him or the Packers at all anymore. I'm hoping 6 months from now, we look back at this and be like, nah, that was weird, but it didn't really affect anything. But I think time will tell. And I don't know still where this is going to head from here with the Packers and Romeo Doubs.
Yeah. It's just so interesting too, because I don't really understand. I really want to know what the reasoning is behind this, because you also think that, all right, the suspension isn't the first course of action. So there had to have been conversations going on. Romeo Doubs had to have been unhappy for a while. And I don't know how you're unhappy for a while when, A, it's really, you know, the beginning of the season. B, you didn't have Jordan Love for two games. And so your game plan drastically changes when you have Malik Willis versus Jordan Love and how much you're throwing the ball, period. And then if you look at the amount of targets that Romeo Doubs was getting, he was only two behind Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed. So yeah. I don't really understand exactly if you're talking about, I get that you want to prove yourself and that you want to get paid in a couple of seasons, but like, you were a fourth round pick at this point, and you don't, guys that get paid a year ahead of time are like the Justin Jeffersons or Jamar Chases or whatever, and sometimes not even there, right?
Yep.
So this whole like, I need to prove myself right away, right off the bat in this season, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And so I'm really curious as to what the thinking is behind this, especially when Romeo Doubs has now been in this offense for 2 years and then some change this year, where there isn't a featured wide receiver. That's what makes this offense so good and so dangerous, is that you never know where Jordan Love is going with the ball. You get Tucker Kraft involved, as we saw this last game, where he's catching long balls for touchdowns. And it's awesome because there's so many options. And I get that probably sucks as a wide receiver when you want to be featured, but you can't. I don't know. It's really curious. That's all. That's all. I'm just very curious to know like what the actual reason is that he was sitting out of practice.
Totally agreed. I would love to know. I would love to have been a fly on the wall to hear some of those conversations of what was going on, because to your point, two behind in targets, but nobody has even come close at the wide receiver position of getting the snaps that Romeo Doubs had. It was 40 more than any other wide receiver going into last week. And then it was the amount of routes that were run on passing plays. Romeo led the team in that too. And to your point, this is a room that they're the Jordan Love in this offense will go to basically who's getting open. And, you know, it's kind of on Romeo to be like, you're playing the most snaps of any wide receiver. You're running the most routes. You're right up there in targets. Like, go make it happen. And if you do, it's going to come to you naturally. So we'll see. I'm very intrigued still how Sunday looks. Does Romeo just insert right back into the spot that he was in? Does he have to kind of earn his way back? Does Jordan try to target him a little bit more, a little bit less? Like, it's very interesting. So again, hopefully we don't even have to think about it in a few weeks and it's just all in the past, but right now it's still very interesting. You brought up Kay Adams, I think, before, right? I think I didn't make that up. Yes, you did. Yes. She tweeted out that Xavier McKinney has been the best defensive addition for any team this year. It's very hard to argue with that. There are a couple in this game. I thought Jared Verse was awesome in this game for the Rams this past week. He's going to be a heck of a player, but he's not Xavier McKinney. Xavier McKinney is an unbelievable addition, and I agree with her. I think I would be hard-pressed to find anyone else from a coaching standpoint or a player that has made a bigger impact for their defense in the amount of time that Romeo Doubs has been in Green Bay for Xavier McKinney and what he has done in Green Bay through 5 weeks so far. Hey, everyone. I cannot believe that we are already on to week 6 in the NFL. Thankfully, week 5 went Green Bay's way, but unfortunately, the division stayed strong and Minnesota and Chicago both picked up wins while Detroit had their bye. So needless to say, Green Bay needs to keep winning, but guess what? We all need to keep winning with Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action, and you can join over 10 million users who are already signed up. And when you sign up, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the bonus. It's guaranteed. So make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Josh Jacobs to tear it up against Arizona, and I'm also going to go with Lamar Jackson to have a monster performance against Washington. Whoever you choose, just remember, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks, run your game.
Yeah, it's especially impressive when you consider the fact that he is the reason, Xavier McKinney is the reason that this Green Bay defense is doing as well as it's doing. It's the reason that they're leading the league in takeaways, you know, 8 interceptions, 5 of which came just from Xavier McKinney alone, which is more than 25 other teams as a whole, by the way. He has more interceptions than 25 other teams, which is absolutely a wild stat. Yep. But I talked about it, or I mentioned it, you know, off the top of the show, where you are a little bit you're left a little bit wanting for this defensive front in Green Bay. And I think you and I talked about this last week, in that this is where kind of it crops up that you've changed schemes because your personnel now no longer really matches what you're running. And that means less than it ever has, given how fluid defensive schemes are and how much they change and how much you spend in your nickel package versus base. But when you look at a 4-3 defense and what you think of as a 4-3 defensive end, does Rashawn Gary really fit that mold? I don't think so. I think he's more of one of those outside backer type guys. And that's where you're kind of seeing the lacking in this defense, which is, again, why it makes it so impressive that Xavier McKinney is taking the ball away single-handedly, because he's really not getting the help up front that you would expect for all of these throws to be going errant or for him to capitalize with takeaways. I mean, Green Bay ranks 21st in total pressures with 63. They have just 11 quarterback hits, which is tied for the fourth fewest. Ranks 23rd in pass rush win percentage too. So this needs to get better. If there's something on this team that I'm really looking to improve, it is this defensive front and how much pressure they are getting on opposing quarterbacks and how much pressure they're putting off offensive lines under. And when, again, you consider that and the fact that Xavier McKinney seems just to not even be bothered by any right. of that, it's an incredible feat. And it's just compounded with how incredible it is. And this is why you go out and pay a safety so much money in a defense like Jeff Hafley's that stresses that position so much.
Yeah, I think we may have touched based on this a little bit last week, but again, the glass half empty approach is, all right, well, if they can't get those pressures and all of a sudden Xavier McKinney doesn't start picking off a pass every single week, where right. I leave this defense? Because sometimes, again, those turnovers come in bunches. They can be fickle. You can go stretches where you're not getting those turnovers. And if you don't have the pass rush up front to get some sacks or some big plays in the backfield, you're just going to get eaten alive. So that's the glass half empty. The glass half full is like, this was supposed to be a defensive front that was going to be a strength of this team. If all of a sudden they start picking up the pressure and the win rate up front, imagine what the turnovers could be, even for Xavier McKinney, when all of a sudden the quarterbacks are throwing more errant passes or, again, making poor decisions because they are under pressure if this defensive front does get it together. So we'll see. I don't know that it's super sustainable if this Packers defensive line continues to not hold up their end of the bargain, both in the run game and in the pass game. But if those guys like Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, LVN, et cetera, if those guys start playing better and up to the right. level that they're capable of, I think you could see this Jeff Hafley defense just take off in general a whole heck of a lot more than it has so far. Let's go over to everyone's favorite topic, the Minnesota Vikings Packers podcast. But let's take a spin around the NFC North. I saw your article this week. The 5-0 Vikings are the NFL's best team. I have a hard time arguing it at this point, quite frankly, but what is the case that you are putting together for the Vikings being the NFL's best team?
Yeah, I mean, there's two unbeaten teams, right? It's Kansas City Chiefs, defending champions, and it's the Minnesota Vikings. And when you look at these two teams, Minnesota is just making things look easier than Kansas City is. I am not in any stretch, like, worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that they will make it to the Super Bowl. I have them winning this. I have them three-peating. I predict that early on, and I'm sticking with it because they've been able. I'm not going to pretend like last year didn't happen, where they had the most drops in the league by their receivers. Had Patrick Mahomes had basically no one to throw to, and they still ended up winning the Super Bowl because right. on the backs of that defense as well. Spags is one of the best in the league, and I'm not counting them out by any stretch of the imagination, but you can't argue it doesn't look very Kansas City-esque right now for them, and it doesn't look easy. You contrast that with the Minnesota Vikings right now, and they are rolling over some very good teams. I think that they have the best play-calling tandem between Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores. And when you do see Sam Darnold struggle a little bit, which we saw in this game in London, because London, all those games are wonky, Jets have a good defense too.
Yep.
You see the defense clamp down even further in Minnesota, and they got three interceptions off Aaron Rodgers, including just the fifth pick six of his 20-year career. That is incredible. And the fact that, you know, he went on the Pat McAfee show, Aaron Rodgers did, and talked a lot about what Brian Flores is doing with that Minnesota defense, especially what they're doing on early downs. They're mixing up their fronts. They're aligning guys in ways that you don't expect them to do it. They're bringing pressure with guys that it doesn't look like they're doing it. The simulated pressures versus, you know, the guys that they're bringing in, the guys that they're dropping into coverage. Having a guy like Andrew Van Ginkle is such an incredible chess piece for Brian Flores, given that he is effective in dropping into coverage despite being kind of that outside backer position. But he can bring pressure, and he can just do whatever you need him to do on top of having Jonathan Greenard on one side and then Dallas Turner, the rookie, on the other. These are guys that are both capable of double-digit sacks this year. And it's just – and then on top of that, you're disguising coverages in the back. You've got defensive backs doing a parent trap celebration when they pick guys off. I mean, just incredible. Vibes are so high. And through the first 5 weeks of the season, I just think it's hard to argue that the Minnesota Vikings are not the best team in the league currently. Do I think that that's going to mean Super Bowl for these guys? I don't know the answer to that, but I can go off of what I've seen, and we've gone through enough games this season that this isn't just a fluke. And you see Sam Darnold isn't even 100% comfortable in this offense yet. And that Kevin O'Connell is still making things a little bit easier on him. They're also about to get TJ Hockenson back, which is another dimension to this offense. And as Sam Darnold does reach his ceiling of how comfortable he is in this offense, I just think there's still room for growth here, which is incredible to say, again, for a guy that is second in offensive passing touchdowns in Sam Darnold and just kind of looks completely rejuvenated, which is a testament to Kevin O'Connell. That's my long-winded way of saying the Minnesota Vikings are awesome right now. They're very easy to root for, and it's a really cool story.
I agree with everything you said outside of they're easy to root for from a Green Bay standpoint, but outside of that, I agree with everything that you said. Sidebar. What happens if Darnold is just this good at the quarterback position in Minnesota? Because he's a free agent after this year, kind of spent a big pick on JJ McCarthy, who looked really good in camp before the injury. Like, what do they do at quarterback? I'm very intrigued by this situation.
I am too. I really don't know the answer to that because you do have, it sucks that JJ McCarthy isn't starting because of injury, because that's impeding his development. And so you don't really know what you have in JJ McCarthy quite yet, because he hasn't been able to take those developmental reps for Kevin O'Connell to really get his hands on him, to work with him and figure out if he can blossom into the quarterback that they thought he could. And it also depends on if you think this is sustainable for Sam Darnold and if he was just dealt really bad hands up until this point. And I think the biggest endorsement, though, for Sam Darnold had to have come from Kyle Shanahan. I don't know this for a fact, but if you think about the fact that Sam Darnold was in San Francisco prior to arriving in Minnesota, where Kyle Shanahan realizes that Brock Purdy is, you know, he's coming off the UCL injury, but he's good. And he's a really good quarterback. And we've seen that now with some of his weapons not being available to him. And he's still making things happen. He's still producing. We know that Brock Purdy is a really good quarterback. To me, what that says is, all right, Kyle Shanahan knew that they didn't have a use for Sam Darnold, not necessarily that he wasn't good. And then who is Kyle Shanahan really good friends with? Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I know it's not a coincidence. And again, this is not proven. I haven't talked to anybody that's confirmed this, but I have to think that Kyle Shanahan goes to Kevin O'Connell and says, hey, listen, I don't have a use for Sam Darnold, but there's something here. And that's why the Vikings go and pay Sam Darnold $10 million to make sure that they get him as their bridge quarterback in particular, not just any bridge quarterback, but Sam Darnold in particular. And Kevin O'Connell turning him into what we're seeing now, it just looks like this was the Sam Darnold that was supposed to come into the league, but he was just put in some really bad situations. I mean, Kevin O'Connell is his fifth head coach, and he's his sixth offensive play caller. Like, it's just in since he's been in the league since 2018, and most of those coordinators outside of Kyle Shanahan, who is coordinator and head coach in San Francisco, aren't in that capacity anymore in the league. That's not a coincidence. I think a lot of us looked at that and said, well, Sam Darnold doomed their careers. And I was like, no, maybe they're just not good coordinators.
Right.
I think it's a huge testament to how much initial situations matter for rookie quarterbacks and gaining that confidence, building on that confidence, building on a foundation. And you see it time and time again. And Sam Darnold is just the latest example of that.
Speaking of young quarterbacks who are trying to build a foundation, also saw that you wrote about how things are trending up for Caleb Williams in the Chicago Bears offense, which certainly seems to be the case. They have an interesting matchup internationally with Jacksonville in London this upcoming weekend. I thought we saw Caleb look the most comfortable that he's looked up until this point, which again, you would expect him to kind of get more and more comfortable as time goes on. That's the hope and the expectation, but we certainly saw that play out this past week.
Yeah. And the big question now is, are the Bears really getting better? Is Caleb Williams really getting better? Or did they just play the Carolina Panthers, which I don't want to dogpile on the Panthers. I feel badly for them. They are it's an objective fact that they are struggling right now and they don't have their best players on defense. So they're not stressing this Bears offensive line. This Bears offensive line is now dealing with injuries, and you want to see how that affects against some stiffer competition when you go against Josh Hines-Allen now and Trayvon Walker, who had his best game this season last week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And these games are always wonky, like I said, overseas. Again, except if you're the Minnesota Vikings, who have never lost in London.
Yeah, that's a weird stat.
Weird stat. Really weird. But it's going to be very interesting to see if you can kind of confirm that this offense is in fact taking a step in the right direction and continuing to trend upward. I don't predict that this is going to, progress is very rarely linear. And that's what I keep saying in these articles and columns that I'm writing about the Chicago Bears so often, it seems like every week, that I'm saying, listen, I want these expectations to be realistic. And I said that coming into the season too, where I was like, so much of this offense is new. Caleb is still a rookie at the end of the day. And I know that there are rookies like Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud out there, but they are the exception, not the rule. And if you look at what Cliff Kingsbury has done for Jaden Daniels in Washington, I'm not saying Washington is running a college offense, which seems to be the hot button take, but I do think that Cliff Kingsbury has meshed the college game with the pro game very well. And he eased Jaden Daniels into this offense by not asking him to do a whole lot. We have now seen Jaden Daniels start taking shots down the field. Yep. He's throwing on the run, which is not something we saw from him in college at LSU. That was my biggest concern with him, was can he scramble and still find additional throwing lanes? That's what I thought Caleb Williams was really good at in college. Yep. And what he can do for the Chicago offense once he's comfortable in it. But the Bears went a very different route than the Commanders did, where they just kind of gave Caleb Williams the keys to the offense and said, go, against NFL defenses that he quite frankly hadn't seen before. But right. Caleb Williams was making the protection calls. He was making the different identifications and the checks at the line and making all of those pre-snap decisions. That's really hard for a young guy to do, whereas you did not see that with Jaden Daniels in the beginning. So this is just the Bears betting on Caleb Williams coming out the other side, and I think you're starting to see that. I want to caution against, if this doesn't go well in London, oh well. It's totally fine. Again, progress is very rarely linear, but it does certainly seem like Caleb knows, you know, kind of, Cole Kmet has been kind of a safety blanket for him for some of those more quick to intermediate throws, those crucial downs that he needs to get. Cole Kmet has been the one to get that for him. You saw the connection with DJ Moore despite the wind. Some of those plays and those throws were just beautiful. And you see him getting DJ Moore involved a little bit more. Next step is Keenan Allen. And we saw Roma Dunze, that kind of relationship start to blossom. That's kind of tapered off as Keenan Allen came back. But we haven't seen the full breadth of this offense really. And you finally got DeAndre Swift going too. You realize when to use him versus Roshon Johnson. This is Shane Waldron getting to know his personnel too. Just bear with these guys. It's still going to take time. It's probably going to, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster still, but I'd still have faith that the Bears will figure it out.
And that's my big question is, do they continue that growth this week against Jacksonville and go and stack success? Or do they have a little bit of that setback? And like you said, against some of those Jacksonville defensive linemen who are really freaking good, can they get the better of that Bears offensive line? And we'll see if Caleb can, you know, kind of navigate that and still find a way to get a victory. Or again, if we see a little bit of a setback this week. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. We have three NFC North games this week. The Vikings have a bye. Just quick thoughts on kind of what you're looking for. We've got Jacksonville, Chicago in London, really good game, Detroit against Dallas in Dallas, and then Arizona at Green Bay.
Yeah. And this London game, which is going to be very early for me on the West Coast, 6:30 yeah. a.m., it was the Vikings last week. It was very, I really want to see though, like on the other side of the ball, Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. have had a wonderful connection so far this season. You saw the Jacksonville Jaguars finally kind of get in the win column last week and figure some things out. Trevor Lawrence has actually been pushing the ball down the field, some of those explosive plays. Can you limit those if you're the Bears defense? I expect Jalen Johnson to be on BTJ. How does that work out? You know, Jalen Johnson is supposed to be your shutdown corner. Can that happen? They're likely going to be down Jaquan Brisker. And how much is that going to matter for this Bears secondary? He plays down in the box a lot more, but he is responsible for a few of those Chicago Bears takeaways at this point. So how much does that affect you? And especially when this Jacksonville Jaguars defense or offense is really going to try to push the ball down the field with BTJ. So that's kind of the matchup I'm looking at for that game in particular. With the Lions, I'm really interested to see how they fare against a Dallas run defense that has just been atrocious, quite frankly. I mean, they gave up 270 yards to the Baltimore Ravens on the ground. And that's something that the Lions do very, very well between David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Not to mention Dallas is hurt in their front seven. You have Marshawn Nealand out. I don't know the status of Micah Parsons. We don't know the status of Micah Parsons. Eric Kendricks did not practice on Wednesday. So with all of those injuries on top of the fact that this just hasn't been a very good run defense, I think that that's a really good opportunity for Ben Johnson to exploit, which, you know, I know that Jared Goff is coming off a near perfect game, but, you know, you go where the matchups are, and there's not a lot of people better at exploiting stuff like that than Ben Johnson himself. So moving, and then with the Packers, again, I'm looking to see if that defensive front can get some more pressure that's going to lead to some more errant throws and opportunities for this back level that has already been so incredibly good, as we talked about with Xavier McKinney. I want Xavier McKinney to get that seventh consecutive game with an interception. I think that would be awesome. And again, just really validates what Green Bay's offseason was and the decisions that Goody has made for this team. And then, yeah, I want to see Jordan Love kind of take over if he can, and having, again, all of his weapons available to him, although we'll see what happens with Luke Musgrave. I really want to see just how much he can utilize between not only Romeo Doubs and see, you know, Jayden Reed, Dontayvion Wicks, if he can remember how to catch a football. We're going to see. And then Josh Jacobs, though, and Tucker Kraft, who has been incredible for Jordan Love. That connection has been great, especially this last week. So what do you scheme up against this Cardinals defense? And then can you keep a lid on Kyler Murray? That's going to be the big thing.
We did just learn, just right as we were starting to record this, that Luke Musgrave is going on IR. It sounds like he's going to be out a while. So that's going to be a loss for Green Bay, but they'll navigate that. They definitely have the weapons to kind of get through that. Just going back to Cowboys Lions for a second, I don't know that there's a bigger mismatch in the league this week than Lions offensive line and run game against Dallas defensive line and run defense. And not to mention, the Lions are coming off a bye week, so they should have fresh legs.
They're rested.
And exactly. So that, to me, like when I was doing my pick'em and my cover fives and my confidence leagues and everything like that, I'm like, I was heavy on the Lions. So it'll probably be wrong and the Cowboys will win by 30. But I just don't see how Dallas is going to stop them. They're going to have to commit a bunch of numbers to the box. And then good luck with Jamison Williams and Amon Ross St. Brown and the rest of that Lions offense in
it's
that game.
It's the Dan Skipper revenge game. So
that's right. The reporting is eligible. Did you see the thing between Dan Campbell and Frank Ragnow, where Frank Ragnow punched him in the against the wall and said, "I'm feeling fine," and wanted to prove it by punching him harder? I guess that's very Lions, very very Lions.
I said as soon as Frank Ragnow they announced that he had the injury to his pec, I was like, this guy's gonna miss like minimal games. There's just no way. Like, he's just too tough, and you know it gets the rest of the guys like super emotional. I remember that last year when he went down, or not even went down, when he was like literally hobbling out there to the field, but still played that week. I remember left tackle Taylor Decker, I was in the locker room after that game, and he got emotional. He was literally on the verge of tears talking about how much it meant that Frank Ragnow made it out there and was playing with the rest of the team. He said it just fires the rest of them up to see how much Frank Ragnow cares about them and wants to be out there with them. It's such an incredibly close unit. You talk about teams that are easy to root for. It's the Detroit Lions, and top to bottom, I mean, they're just all so close. That locker room is so fun. And they all mean a great deal to each other, which is all of the intangibles that you need to kind of be successful in this league to the highest degree, which is make a Super Bowl. They were only a half away from it last year. I expect them to get back this year. That was my prediction, was Chiefs Lions. So we're going to see if that comes true. But in the meantime, I adore Dan Campbell, and I have no problem believing that story. I know a lot of people think like, he just kind of like makes these stories up, but I'm like, honestly, I don't think so. Like, there is so much that I've seen with my own eyes, and I think that the Detroit beat could tell you more because they're around him every day. This is the guy that Dan Campbell is, and it has this team ready to run through a brick wall for him at all times.
Yeah, I believe it. Even if it's not, it's like, you know, like you get these stories of lore and like Paul Bunyan and like you get like,
it's just I love like, it. The myth that is MCDC. Right?
Like, yeah, you know, so even if it's not like even like, it's almost even better that he's just like going with these stories and making it even better. I think so. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The other thing, the NFC North went 3-0 last week. They could go 3-0 again this week. Lions over Cowboys, Bears over Jacksonville, Packers over Arizona. Like,
they're 14-5, is it now? On the season? Yeah. Like, they're the best division in the NFC by far, which you and I talked about prior to the season starting.
Yeah, two losses for Chicago, two for Green Bay, one for Detroit, none for Minnesota. So Minnesota has the bye, and I could easily see them going 3-0 again this week, which would be just crazy. This division is firing on all cylinders right now. Carmen, unbelievable stuff as always. Where can we find all of your incredible work and knowledge?
Just go to my Twitter, Carmi V, Instagram, Carmi V. That's where I post everything that I'm involved in. I do shows with PFF, obviously on here. And then I have a show on Marquee in Chicago talking about the Bears as well. Not that that's super interesting to Packer fans, but I try to spread the wealth a little bit and remain as objective as possible. I try to be the voice of reason in all things. So go ahead and check that out if that's your thing.
Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. So always go check out the Bears podcast, see what they're up to. But if you're not checking out the Trevor Sikkema pod with Carmen, it is absolutely amazing every week. So make sure to check that out. And of course, Carmen at Carmi V on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Carmen and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.